Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, July 24th, 2026. We begin first with page one, where the main story is a collage of beautiful photos about downtown Bloomington, headlined, "Put a Ring on It." Community and business leaders celebrate new Main Street feature. And the captions read, "Local officials celebrate after officially opening the new Ring Structure Amphitheater during a ceremony in the 600 block of North Main Street Wednesday, marking the completion of a major phase in the downtown Bloomington streetscape project. The city plans to host a larger community celebration in the fall, featuring live music, vendors, children's activities, food, and other family-friendly experiences in downtown Bloomington. And the lighted rings will create a public space for a variety of events on Main Street. The ring structure is part of a plan to improve downtown and attract people to shop, eat, and drink in the historic neighborhood." And our next front page item is about education, titled District 87 Says Students Are Succeeding. This story is datelined Bloomington. Students in Bloomington District 87 showed growth across all schools and grade levels in both behavior and academics, according to data compiled by the district. District-wide, we saw growth everywhere, which was exactly what we wanted to see, Assistant Superintendent of Teaching and Learning Nicole Rummel told the school board Wednesday. "We have a strong focus and target on supporting behaviors in school. Each school from pre-kindergarten through high school developed a set of goals at the start of the 2025-26 school year," Rummel said. "Each set of goals was meant to align with the mission of District 87 to challenge, support, and inspire students to learn and achieve to their highest potential," according to the district website. Overall, academic performance in reading and mathematics increased year over year, regardless of each individual school's set goals and whether they met them, Rummel said, while school attendance also increased district-wide. Even though she would like to see the test scores improve, ACT results remain consistent, Rummel said. "We can always grow in our academics, so we want to continue to have students achieve in reading and in math as we move forward. I'd like to see a little bit of growth on our ACT score," she said. Besides tracking test scores, District 87 has made a push to have teachers and administrators record every time a student's actions may need more guidance or correction, Rummel said, addressing things like classroom disruption, tardiness, or truancy. "The real reason we want to track that data is because we want to support kids. So if we don't know day in and day out what are the behaviors that we are seeing consistently, when are those behaviors happening, where are those behaviors happening, then we cannot address them," she said. One area of improvement, though, was attendance, Rummel said. Across the district, attendance increased while tardiness decreased, according to her presentation, with the high school seeing tardy referrals down from 53,658 to 46,303, a net decrease of more than 7,300 this school year. "We are really holding strong with school attendance," Rummel said. "We want to continue the strategies that we have put in place that are working and maintain that." The school board also heard an updated tentative budget from Bryce Hansen for both the Bloomington Career Academy, the district's vocational school that serves 18 area high schools, and the McLean-DeWitt Regional Vocational System. Hansen oversees both entities as they work together and share various aspects of their budgets. He presented preliminary budgets at June's school board meeting that had the vocational system's totals at $1.78 million for revenue and expenses and the Career Academy's at $3.3 million. However, there were nominal changes in July's presented budget due to state and federal grants for career and technical education improvement, Hansen said. Initially, those grants funds are allocated to the McLean-DeWitt Regional Vocational System before moving to the Bloomington Career Academy, but the flow from the McLean-DeWitt Regional Vocational System to the Bloomington Career Academy is going to be $32,345 less than we anticipated, Hansen said. We anticipated an increase in funding from the state in career and technical education improvement and did not receive that. We will be able to make up for that revenue in other ways, he told the board. We had also anticipated an additional career and technical education improvement funding increase of $51,938. While I was a little disappointed to not receive that increase, a lot of other education for employment regions in the state actually had a decrease in funding, and so I was grateful to at least be level funded in that area. The regional vocational system also received an increase of over $71,000 in federal funding through the Carl D. Perkins Career and Technical Education Act, he said. Kimberly Tabor, director of multilingual services, told the board that District 87 has increased the number of English learning students by nearly 200 in the past 5 years. While the state of Illinois has seen an increase of 0.8% in multilingual students in K-12 education, District 87's population grew from 4.1% in 2025-26 to 6.5% for this coming school year, a challenge that district teachers and administrators welcome, Tabor said. We want to elevate and honor multilingualism and multiculturalism, Tabor said. I think we are doing a good job with that, but we can always do more. And our next front page story is about centennial celebration, Route 66 seen driving tourism and business growth. This story is Dateline Bloomington. McLean County's Cruisin' Through the Century weekend celebrating the Route 66 centennial may be in the rearview mirror, but tourism officials and businesses are looking to wide open vistas ahead. The awareness of McLean County for Route 66 travelers is spreading, and we are excited to see how the travelers interact with our portion of the Mother Road in the future, said Zach Dietmeyer, Chief Operating Officer for Visit BN. Cruisin' Through the Century was a two-day event, June 6th and 7th, that coordinated Route 66 centennial festivities in communities along the route in McLean County. Each community focused on a different decade from the 1920s to the 1980s, when the route was decommissioned in 1985. More than 10,000 people visited Bloomington's downtown square over the 2 days, said Taylor Kern, downtown development specialist for the city of Bloomington. Kern emphasized that Route 66 connects downtown Bloomington as an internationally recognized brand. It drives tourism, local spending, it celebrates downtown's historic character, creates opportunities for events and placemaking, Kern said, noting how Route 66 heritage ties into current streetscape work downtown. We just want to make it last as long as we can so we can keep celebrating past the 100 years as well. While the weekend was a shot in the arm for local tourism, Dietmeyer said organizers hope to see long-term benefits from getting the word out about Route 66, and not just in the United States. To promote the June 6th through 7th weekend, Visit BN hosted 7 different familiarization tours starting in April, ranging from travel organizers in the UK and Ireland to journalists covering the centennial from Italy and Germany, he said. One of the most direct impacts of the centennial events has been increasing awareness internationally for tour operators and travel groups, he said. Those efforts apparently paid off. An increase in both U.S. and international visitors has been reported all along the route in the country, in the county. One place in particular that has seen it is Sprague Super Service, a restored period service station that is now a museum at 305 Pine Street in Normal and hosts Ryburn Place Gifts and Gab. That stretch of pine is where Route 66 entered the Twin Cities from the north. On one day in June, store owner Terry Ryburn's visitor log included people from Poland, India, Canada, England, and Belgium, she said, adding that she has had visitors from every state, Puerto Rico, and 72 countries. Another time, a tour guide showed up with 26 visitors from the Czech Republic, and after he left, about 25 New Zealanders came in, she said. So, it's just been constant, and it's building, and there won't be any let-up for a very long time, Ryburn said. And the increase has not just been in Bloomington Normal, officials said. Visitors from Japan, Australia, Switzerland, and Brazil were seen at Memory Lane, a linear park on an original Route 66 stretch in Lexington, for example. In places like Towanda, motorcycle groups stop regularly to see the Arboretum and to interact with the parkway, Dietmeyer said. He also noted Rick McCormick, owner of the Parkview Inn at 1003 South Morris Avenue, along the 1930-40 alignment of Route 66 in Bloomington, has seen big traffic stopping for brunch as they visit the zoo and Miller Park. While local celebrations took place last month, centennial dates and celebrations for the 2,448-mile Chicago to Santa Monica, California highway span this year. The highway, which had been planned for years, officially received its Route 66 number designation on April 30, 1926, and it was formally established on November 11, 1926. Other Route 66 celebrations have included plays by the Nomad and Heartland Theater Companies, and Raider Family Farms will also have a Route 66-themed corn maze this fall. Ryburn said she believes awareness of Route 66 and its attractions is growing. Sprague's, for example, was one of several sites along the route to unveil Route 66 murals. I've seen, obviously, an uptick in visitors, lots of international folks, and these are folks who have planned for a very long time. They research, they do binders, they do everything to make sure they don't miss anything, Ryburn said. And this image of Sprague's is one that goes around the world, so this is one of the places they most want to see. She said visitors sometimes are disappointed when they stop by and the station is closed, but there is a great photo op outside with the gas pumps, so a lot of people pull their cars up, take a picture, and share that, she added. So yeah, there has been a huge increase in numbers. She has hosted bus tours and saw hundreds of people on the Hot Rod Power Tour on the June 6th and 7th weekend. People were literally shoulder to shoulder in her store, Ryburn said. We're 5 years past COVID, so every year I see more and more. And this year, people have saved up for this, planned it, and I'm so happy to be here to help them just with those kinds of things they would not pick up if they were just planning a trip, Ryburn said. I feel like I'm kind of the tour guide for McLean County, or one of them. In terms of merchandise, local customers are more interested in buying local Route 66-themed items at Sprague's, while those who are coming from farther away are more interested in buying smaller items, such as maps, books, postcards, or magnets that they can easily pack, she added. Kern, with downtown Bloomington, was on the Cruisin' Through the Century Planning Committee for over a year. It formed in January 2025 and included monthly conversations with people from all over McLean County, she said. They discussed how they could celebrate the centennial in a way that would make sense for all towns, cities, and areas involved. They came up with the decade-themed parties. For the Bloomington team, which was assigned the 1960s, planning took about 8 months, Kern said. This event was super important for downtown. Route 66, in general, is really important for downtown just as far as economic impact goes, Kern said, noting more than 40 businesses ranging from art galleries to restaurants and retailers, participated, even if it was simply being open during atypical hours. Kern said she has noticed a general increase in tourist traffic and social media chatter since the beginning of the year, ranging from Chicagoans to people from Europe and Asia following the route. The centennial was definitely a large event for us. If anything, it was a good kickoff for our Route 66 festivities within downtown, Kern said. And then we have little bits and pieces of individual businesses continuing it through the entire year as well. So, cruising through the century was just the start, I would say, for how we are celebrating, Kern said. Pam Eaton, co-owner of Herb Eaton Studio Gallery at 411 North Center Street and co-founder of the Downtown Bloomington Neighborhood Association, said she feels a lot of positives have come out of the Route 66 centennial. As they were painting Route 66 signage on the sidewalk, people driving by honked and gave them a thumbs up, saying, "I just love to see things happening downtown," she said. "We are educating our own local community and those within our state, and if we can keep that momentum going, we really should," she said, adding this is the first time in 50 years that she has seen McLean County mayors working together for the same cause of education, introduction, and invitation to Route 66, and that has been a very positive thing. And our last front page story is about the Mideast War, headlined "House Rebukes Trump on War, Symbolic Vote Seeks Halt to Military Action." This is a Reuters story, Dateline Washington. The Republican-led U.S. House of Representatives backed legislation Thursday directing President Donald Trump to halt U.S. military action against Iran, the latest symbolic rebuke of the Republican president from Congress. The vote was 214-208 in favor of the War Powers Resolution, as four Republicans joined Democrats in voting for it. The resolution, introduced by Representative Pramila Jayapal, a Washington Democrat, directs Trump to remove the use of United States Armed Forces from hostilities against Iran unless Congress authorizes it. However, it was largely symbolic. Lawmakers have passed similar resolutions repeatedly in recent months, but they have not led to a cessation of the war. The four Republicans who voted in favor were Tom Barrett of Michigan, Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, Warren Davidson of Ohio, and Thomas Massie of Kentucky. Trump's Republicans hold slim majorities in the House and Senate. The bill then went to the Senate, which blocked the resolution by a vote of 49-47. The vote comes after Trump announced a ramp up in attacks on Iran and the deaths of more U.S. service members. Trump on Thursday promised major military punishment for Iran and its Houthi allies after the Yemeni fighters struck two Saudi oil tankers in the Red Sea, extending the Middle East war to a second major shipping choke point. Additionally, 2 weeks since the effective collapse of an interim truce meant to end the war, the U.S. military launched another nightly round of airstrikes on Iran, prompting Iran to fire at U.S. bases in neighboring countries. Meanwhile, Saudi Aramco offered additional crude cargoes for loading from Egypt's Mediterranean port of Sidi Kerir, according to five trading sources, as Houthi threats to Saudi shipping raise risks for southbound Red Sea exports through the Bab el-Mandeb Strait. The cargoes, which are shipped to Egypt's Red Sea port of Ain Sukhna and then carried by the Suez Mediterranean pipeline to Sidi Kerir, are being offered on a spot basis, two of the sources said, supplementing supplies to Aramco's term buyers. While Aramco already supplies some customers in Europe and North America from Sidi Kerir, the additional volume suggests the company is seeking greater flexibility in reaching its markets after Yemen-based Houthis vow to attack Saudi crude exports traveling through the Bab el-Mandeb Strait at the southern end of the Red Sea. Aramco declined to comment. There is more available, and they are offering spot barrels to term customers, one of the sources, speaking on condition of anonymity, said. Reuters could not confirm the volume or price of the additional offers. The Iran-aligned Houthis said Thursday they attacked two Saudi oil tankers in the Red Sea, while Saudi state media later reported that one of the vessels caught fire following the assault. The rising security threat has already forced several oil tankers to change course in the Red Sea to head toward the Suez Canal at the north exit. Saudi Arabia increased crude exports via its Red Sea port of Yanbu since the Iran war led to disruptions to Gulf exports via the Strait of Hormuz. Also on Thursday, four sources reported that Iran flew Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps commanders, military advisors, and missile and drone-related equipment into Yemen this month, a move that suggests Tehran is seeking to strengthen the ability of its Houthi allies to threaten Red Sea shipping. Four sources familiar with the matter, including two Iranian sources, Yemen's information minister, and a regional security analyst, said Iran transferred the personnel and military-related equipment on a flight from Tehran to Yemen on July 13th, a development that was not previously reported. The two Iranian sources told Reuters that between 10 and 21 personnel, including senior commanders, were on the flight. The plane was originally bound for the Houthi-controlled capital Sana'a, but diverted to the Red Sea port city of Hodeidah after the airport came under attack by the Saudi-backed Yemen government. The IRGC commanders traveled there to support Houthi operations and provide training on new missile systems, one of the sources said, adding that Iran also sent gold on the aircraft to fund Houthi activities. The two Iranian sources spoke on condition of anonymity because of security concerns. And we turn now to some local and state news. This story is headlined, IDOT Annual Survey Seeks Public Input, Dateline Springfield. The Illinois Department of Transportation, in partnership with the University of Illinois at Springfield, is seeking public feedback for its annual Traveler Opinion Survey. These surveys provide an opportunity for Illinois residents to offer their opinions on a wide variety of issues. This feedback helps give IDOT the information it needs to be a national leader in transportation services. This year's survey is seeking input on road conditions, ice and snow removal, planning priorities, electric vehicles, and other topics. The survey is available through August 11th and can be found on the UIS and IDOT websites. And bridge replacement underway in Bloomington Township. Capodice Road between Harvest Hill Road and Woodrigg Road is closed for bridge replacement. The closure started July 20th and is scheduled to continue through November 6th, weather permitting. And you can call 309-663-9445 for more information. And Eureka Man killed in crash identified. The Eureka Man has been identified after a fatal crash on Tuesday in Woodford County. The Woodford County Coroner's Office was dispatched to a two-vehicle crash at U.S. Route 24 and 1700 East Road in rural Eureka. In a statement Thursday, Woodford County Coroner Tim Rustman said Stephen S. Barker, 73, of Eureka, was pronounced dead at the scene. Barker was traveling westbound on Route 24 when he collided with a semi-tractor trailer in the westbound lane, the coroner said. Authorities did not say what time the crash was reported. Preliminary autopsy results indicate he died of multiple blunt force injuries from the crash. A toxicology study will be conducted as part of the investigation. The crash remains under investigation by the Woodford County Sheriff's and Coroner's Officers, Eureka Goodfield Emergency Management Services also assisted on the scene. And the Beach Boys Arena Show postponed. The Beach Boys Sounds of Summer Tour Show, scheduled for August 13th at the Grossinger Motors Arena in downtown Bloomington, has been postponed to October 3rd. The band released the following statement. Playing for you is the highlight of our summer every year, especially as we celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States while saluting the 60th anniversary of Pet Sounds, the group's 11th album. We have been having a blast out there, and to keep the good vibrations going strong, we will be taking a short break to recharge before getting back on the road in September. All tickets for postponed performances, including those planned for July through September 3rd, will be honored following the band's return in late September. Patrons are asked to contact their local box office for additional information and questions. The statement continued, "Thanks for your understanding. We cannot wait to see you back out there for a September to remember." And here are some calendar items. Open Jam Residency at the Atchison, hosted by Marcos Mendez, July 24th, 6 to 10 p.m., also on July 29th, at the Atchison at 1611 Morrissey Drive in Bloomington. Join host Marcos Mendez for an open jam at the beautiful The Atchison event venue. Bring your talents, your friends, and your support for live performance and unwind on a Wednesday. The Morning Grind, 9 to 10 a.m., July 25th, at the Crafted Coffee and Wine on Airport Road in Bloomington, $20. Join us at Crafted Coffee and Wine this summer for 6 weeks of amazing workout challenges. The Morning Grind is a 45-minute long workout followed by a refreshing coffee or beverage of your choice. And Pet Central Helps and PetSmart Adoption Event, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., July 25th and 26th, at PetSmart on East Empire Street in Bloomington. Come see Pet Central Helps every weekend at PetSmart in Bloomington with a large variety of available pets. And Pop-Up Art Show with House of Delphi, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., July 25th, at Bob's Bay Books on North Main Street in Bloomington. And the Biscuits and Gravy Band from 7 to 10 p.m., July 25th, at the Eastside Blono at 1101 Airport Road in Bloomington. Our first time there, and we're excited. Join us on the patio. Enjoy the fresh air, drinks, tasty food, and music. Good music from way back. And the Central Illinois Numismatic Association's 36th Annual Summer Coin Show, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., July 26th, at the Northfield Center on Northfield Drive in Springfield, next to the Dirksen Parkway. 70 dealer tables, $1 admission or early bird, $20 from 7 to 9 a.m. Members and children under 16 free. U.S. and foreign coins, ancient and modern coins, golf and silver bullion, gold and silver bullion, American Eagles, and paper money. And here is today's Flick Fact question. True or false, after much talk, debate, and multiple bid lettings in a decade-long proposed project, work is about to begin on the Uptown Underpass in Normal. But first, we must allow a specific creature to mate. And the answer is that is true, actually. Before the project can begin to construct a pedestrian, cyclist, and Amtrak passenger walkway underneath the Union Pacific Railroad tracks in Uptown, two trees must be removed. But that can't be done until August 1st, after bat mating season, in a directive from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. This has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of July 24th, 2026. I look forward to part two next.